Hi, everybody. This is Pam at the Paper Outpost, and this is the Paper Outpost podcast, The Joy of Junk Journals. Sunshine and I are hanging out on the lanai, and I'm answering your crafty questions from YouTube, so let's jump right in. Kathleen Johnson says, "You do the best stuffs. Have you ever thought of hosting a junk journal workshop?" I'm guessing you probably mean an in-person one. I will put that on my idea list. And she is referring to the video called Beginner Friendly Junk Journal Decorating Ideas. Retro Redux asks, "Hey Pam, how about a video using up very tiny scraps, like the pieces that you pulled off the bookmark from that same video?" I would say, sure, why not? That would be a lot of fun. It would almost be like a tiny collage, possibly decorating embellishments, or creating altered paper clips or clusters, something like that. That would be a lot of fun. I'm going to put that on the idea list. Thank you, Retro Redux. Julianne Worth says, "The pink trifold, same video, the pink trifold and bookmark look great. Who am I kidding? It all looks awesome, Pam." Oh, thank you. Oh, okay. Well, very happy to hear that. Yet things, you know, sometimes they just get created as you go. And, you know, I was thinking about things to remember or poignant things about junk journals is that when you sit down, sometimes you have a preconceived idea and it goes as planned. And other times you have a preconceived idea and it doesn't go as planned. But just because it doesn't go as planned doesn't mean it can't be fun. And often your imagination will start knocking at your door saying, "Yeah, that's a great idea, but what if you did this or what if you did that?" And next thing you know, you're down a different rabbit hole and your butterfly junk journal suddenly became a butterfly teacup moon junk journal, and it's okay. Yeah, I just want to say it's okay. Or your specifically predestined yellow junk journal suddenly got a little green in it and a little pink in it, and it's okay. It's totally okay. I would say just go with the flow, go with what you're inspired to do at that moment, and see where it takes you. It can be a lot of fun. Okay, let's see what else you're saying and thinking out there. Let me heart these so I know I answered them. Okay, we did three so far. Winter Wolf says, "Hi, Pam." This is on the video, Random Junk Journal Tips. "Hi, Pam. I just love your videos and your wonderful personality. I was wondering where you find your vintage style letters and things. As a complete beginner, it took a bit of overwhelming trying to gather the tools, papers, and inks together, but also looks so fun. Thank you so much. Blessings." Yes. Okay, so let's see. People have four replies to this one. Let's see what they say. But for some reason, I can't open them. I don't know why. Four replies and they won't open. I don't know why. Okay. All right. Well, what I would suggest, my standard answer is I find things, self, family, friends. I look there first, then yard sales, garage sales, consignment shops, antique malls, auctions, Etsy, eBay, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, thrift shops, flea markets, if I didn't mention that. There's so many places to look for these items, and I would say you get better at it the more that you do. But remember, never let lack of a craft supply stop you. So just going through your quick list here of, let's say, old vintage style papers. Well, you can create things that look old and antique or vintage, which is, there's a lot of fun in doing that. So you don't actually have to have the old. It's just an aesthetic or a style. It's one that I love. And I have to admit, I love to collect that stuff. So it's fun for me to do, but I don't want everybody to feel like they have to have tons of that stuff, because sometimes it can be very expensive to purchase and hard to find. And I understand that. So that's something to consider. Shameless self-promotion. I do sell things that are called a fundle, which are collections of old and interesting papers. including antique ledger, checks, receipts, postcards, black and white photos, tea cards, and all sorts of really cool book pages. If that's a nice, easy starting place for you to at least get a handful of these things, so maybe that you can see what you would actually like to collect in the future, what floats your boat, what you find fun, you could do that. But I would say start at your local thrift store and just rummage around there and see what you can find. Or yard sales and garage sales are great places to get good deals on things like that. Sometimes the old letters, they're a little harder to find, but you can find them if you look. Keep looking. So I would say also, I know gathering of the tools. Remember, a lot of things can be used in place of fancy tools. Like, let's say you don't have a crocodile tube big bite, you can use a hammer and a big fat nail going into a piece of wood and pound your holes through your junk journal spine with that. You can, if you have, like if you don't have the fancy distress inks or whatever inks you like to use, you can always use makeup. Always use makeup or coffee dye, like dissolve instant crystals of coffee into some water in a spritzer bottle and spritz, 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 and you can stencil and rubber stamp and do so many fun things that don't require a lot of fancy tools. Like if you don't have fancy rubber stamps, you can use the end of a pencil, the eraser, and do little dot designs with that. It acts like a rubber stamp. You can create flowers out of that or little corner designs on your pages. Page trim. I mean, you just kind of start thinking outside of the box, and before you know it, you know, the Dollar Tree is an excellent place to start for inexpensive craft items. They're probably going to have stencils and glues, and I think they even sold small bottles of Faberfix, and I think Aileen's glue I've seen there before. I don't know if I've ever found a good glue stick there. I wouldn't recommend the Jot, G-O-T, J-O-T actually, but I've tried it and it's like you didn't even use it. But there may have some other things that are good. Like you can probably find rulers there, and you know, you can buy books with hard covers, and then you can use, you know, for a dollar, and then you can use the hard cover to make the cover of your junk journal and wrap it in fabric or paper or whatever you like. So just remember that there's a lot of inexpensive ways to get started. In other words, what I'm saying is don't wait until you get all the stuff. And I totally understand that the hunt is half the fun, because just looking for the stuff, you can have great outings going to all the different thrift stores in your town, church bazaars, things like that, and seeing what's out there and fun for you to play with, because everything is a craft supply until proven otherwise. You will look at everything differently once you start to junk journal. Junk mail is a beautiful resource of paper, of envelopes, of different textures. Anything that you get from Amazon, the packaging, you know, the brown wrapping paper that comes in those, the padded envelopes can be folded and they make great journal covers. I mean, there's so much at our fingertips. Try and use what you have. If you're looking for fabrics, start in your own closets. Look at your clothes, look at your linens, your curtains, maybe some old curtains that you don't use anymore. You can cut things up and just use them in so many different ways. So I think you might find if you really look around, you're going to have a lot more than you think, and it's just a fun resource. And you're turning things that were, you know, just sitting there on your in your closet doing nothing. And boy, do I need to clean out my closet. It's ridiculous at this point. It's time. I think I'm going to do that today. I'm going to carve out a little bit of time. And because every time I go in my closet, I'm like, somebody's got to do something about this. And I keep like putting that out to the universe, and the universe keeps saying, well, that's going to be you, dear. That's up to you to do. And so I think it's time I do that. So there you go. And I would say carry on from there. Let's do another question. Let's see what's going on. That was very sweet. Thank you, Winter Wolf. Rita Brando said, this is a video called Teabag Tuckables. Hi, and thank you for sharing. Your puppy is awesome and smart. I am also yay loving don't know what that means. And can you make this without sewing? I don't have a sewing machine. Yes, pretty much 99% of things can be made without sewing. You can also hand sew by punching little holes around and then just doing like a running blanket style stitch or a, oh, there's a pretty butterfly going by, so pretty. You can use glue. You can wrap edges in washi tape. Now, washi tape is a low tack tape, so I recommend running some glue across it, either a white glue or Fabri-Fix, or even running it across a glue stick will give it a lot more strength. And then you can wrap it around the edges of anything that needs to be sealed to give you extra structure, extra security, extra stability. And so you definitely do not have to have a sewing machine. But if you're feeling brave, remember that a sewing machine is only a tool, and you do not have to be blessed with the sewing gene. You just need to get one, and you can buy them at Goodwill for, I remember, around $20. I don't know if they're still that price, but before COVID and everything, they were $20, and the manager said that they did test them. So I figured, well, it would be worth a roll of the dice, and you can go ahead and play with it, not be too worried about it if you broke it. You can watch a YouTube video on how to operate it, how to load the bobbin, how to load the thread, how to get out of little snags and things like that. That's pretty much how I navigated through it, because I didn't have someone right there with me to show me how to operate my machine, and I got stuck every possible place that you could get stuck along the way with it. But I decided the machine and I were going to become friends some way, shape, or form. And if I just kept basically watching enough videos to walk myself through whatever I was getting stuck in, there would be a way through it, because somebody on this planet has faced that same foible before. And they managed to get past it. I know there's a way through it. And I learned a little bit every time. So, and I would say probably, it works, well for me 99% of the time. I do struggle. My needles fall out. Sometimes my needles get stuck in the glue. I try and remember to clean my needles. I don't always do it. You can clean them with acetone. That will clean off the glue. Don't use an expensive, quilting machine or something that your grandmother gave you, anything like that. No heirloom stuff. I wouldn't recommend it, just because if something does go awry, then you're going to be crying for days. And I don't want you to do that. I just want you to have fun. Okay, so Jerry Gwynn says, could you do your overspray and then let it dry and then do the stencil? That might help keep it from bleeding. Okay, what are we looking at here? Junk Journal Part 1, How to Coffee Dye Papers, Quick and Easy Step-by-Step Tutorial. Yes, I would say yes, because that makes perfect sense, and probably I was doing it backwards. But it's kind of funny when we are somebody watching a video and we say, well, why didn't they just do X? And when you're in it, you don't think of it, but it's helpful to have somebody else come along and say, hey, if you ever thought about doing it this way, it might save you a lot of time, energy, and effort, or you might get a different outlook. You might get a different result that you might prefer. So thank you for that. I always appreciate tips and ideas from everybody. We all learn and grow together. Debbie Hedges says, is your punch, looks like a circle punch, a 3-inch punch? My 2-inch punch looks so much smaller. I would say it probably is a 3-inch punch. It's a big one. Yeah, and they're handy when you want to do basic shapes like circles and squares and things like that, because you can use them for so many different things. Paper punchers we're talking about here. Jennifer S. Walker says, thank you for the sale on Digikits. That was last week. Okay. All right. I think I've answered some of these, so I'm going to scroll down. Somebody asked, Linda Peterson asked, could you put a thin layer of matte varnish on the paper, on the napkin cover? on the video called Got Notepads, Transform Ordinary Notepads into Handy Gifts. That would be a great idea. I love that idea. I don't normally work with varnish, but I'm sure you could. You could also cover it with Mod Podge. I think that would work as well. And there is Matt Mod Podge, I believe. Okay. Deborah Henderson says, "Hey, Flappy Pants and Tiny Pooch, I enjoyed your journal crafting immensely. Can you look in your dictionary?" Oh, I think I read this one already. Okay, let's swoof down to... See, I forgot to mark them. Okay. Mist asks, "I must have been covering a journal cover in material." And she said, "Why don't you just cut the corners off? A lot less bulky." And I don't cut the corners off when I'm folding, you know, the bedsheet style wrap around the journal cover, because I find that often I would get the little end, the corner of the book would peek out through the fabric, and it would be more cumbersome than it would be just folding the fabric nice and thinly and well on the corners. And then I know, no matter how much the book is handled, that little corner is not going to pop out. It's just a personal choice. You can certainly cut off that extra piece of material, and if you're much better junk journal cover wrapper than me, you'll have much better luck with that. But me, not so much. Sandra Sheldon says on the video called "Got Scrap Paper? Easy fun ideas to mass make for junk journals." She said, "How much fun is this random stamparoonie?" Yep, that's true. You can stamp till the cows come home and have a lot of fun with it. There's so many different ways we can use our rubber stamps, and I'm sure we've only scratched the surface, so we'll play with those more. Because I think probably a lot of people have a few rubber stamps around, and you can take one rubber stamp and use it a multitude of ways. So we could play with that and maybe do a video on that again, a little refresher, and maybe some new ideas in there. Leanne Sutherland says, "How is it that Sunshine never shows up with a piece of scrap paper stuck to the end of his nose? My little pup, Scrappy, always made me laugh because he would be snooping around under my table and have paper stuck to the end of his nose." Great video again. Oh, that's so sweet. That is so funny, too. I could totally picture that. Sunshine has managed to walk through some paint and track his little paws across some things. He's done that because I left the paint on the floor or something like that. And that we have experienced, right, Sunshine? He's like a little mop. He's white, so he picks up everything. And I think maybe this week he's going to go in for a haircut. Yeah, I think it's time. So we're starting to get a little warmer here. The weather is wonderful, and I think it's a good idea if we go out in the sun, and he'll feel better all trimmed up, and he's going to look all skinny pants. Okay. Crystal Perkins asks, "Hello, may I ask, what are you spraying on the ink pads?" I generally use just water, and I spritz them to reawaken the dried ink that's already in there. Some people like to add glycerin to it, which is a natural humectant, meaning it will draw moisture towards the ink pad. The only thing is it will make your ink or ink pad take a little bit longer to dry. And I have good results with just good old plain old water. It seems to work fine. Sharon Siller says on the video called "Got Scrap Paper," she said, "At 21:19, you played fun today, encouraging me to get my old glitter out. What about embossing powder? What can you do with that?" I know, gosh, I've got a ton of that too. We should pull that out and have a round of fun with it. And it's like glitter and embossing powder and the messy stuff, microbeads, things like that, this little tiny pieces of stuff. It's like, I almost feel like it's best to mass make. If you're going to do a bunch of stuff, just mass make the heck out of a bunch of things, because it's going to be a messy ordeal to clean up. So you want to go in, have a lot of fun, and then clean the ordeal up, and then be done with it for a while and feel good about yourself that you used your craft supplies that you invested in, and you're just having an awesome day. I haven't played with chalk in a while. I should play with chalk. Chalk is a very nice medium. We forget about it often. It is a pigment, a color. It can be drawn onto paper. You can use it for shading or smudging, things like that. You can mist over it a little bit with an acrylic sealer, something like that, so it doesn't transfer onto the other pages. But it's often a forgotten about hero in the craft room. So maybe we'll play with some chalk. I don't know why chalk came to mind. So, okay. Lily Create says, hi, y'all. How's all my paper outpost friends? Well, I must confess that I often walk into my art studio and make masterboards and then tuck them away for a rainy day. Oh, that's a big pile of unused masterboards. I hear you. Yes. So she's referring to the video called Easy Pockets and Tucks from a Masterboard for Junk Journals. A lot of fun. And masterboards are a great way just to zen out, unwind, glue all your little papers and fabrics and scraps and everything, and rubber stamp to whatever you want to a piece of base paper. And then you'll salvage all of that and you'll be able to use it one day, hopefully, if we remember that we have them. And they're a great resource. So keep having papery fun out there, everybody. It's an awesome hobby to have. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye.